Jayarada Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janavalava Kirivaradari Jai Gopi Janavalava Giri Varada Jasodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Vanandana Vrishanaranjana Jasodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Jasodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Samunatira Vanachari Tiravanachari Natiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janavalava Girivaradari Gopi Janavalava Girivaradari Jasodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Sarandana Vrishanaranjana Jasodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Sodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Jasodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Sodhanandana Vrishanaranjana Samunatira Vanachari Tiravanachari Munatiravanachari Tiravanachari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Vaja Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Gaura Premanandi. So we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 13, text 33. Evam Vimstriya Gunato manasas tri avastam man mayayam mayi kritam iti nischitartam sanchidyam aram anumanam saduti ukti tiksnam Yanasinam Bhajatam Makilam Samsayadim Evam Vimsriya Gunato Manasastriya Vastam Vimsriya Gunato Manasastriya Vastam Evam Vimsriya Gunato Manasastriya Vastam Manasastriya Vastam Man mayaya mayi krita isti nischitartha mayaya mayi krita iti nischitartha man mayaya mayi krita iti nischitartha mayi krita isti nischitartha sanchirya radha manu manasa dukti tikshna sanchirya radha manu manasa dukti tikshna Sanchidyarda manumana sariktyuktikshna Sanchidyarda manumana sarukti tikshna Yanasina vajatha makila samsayadim. Yanasina vajana makila samsayadim. Evam mistriyana gunato manasastriya vastam. Mamayaya mayi grita iti nischitartam. Sanchidyarna manumana sadukti tikshnam. Yana sina vajata makila samsayarim. Evam, thus, vimstriya, considering, gunata, by the mode of nature, manasa, of the mind, triyavasta, the three states of consciousness, Mayaya, by the influence of my illusory potency, Mayi, in me, Krita, imposed, Iti, thus, Nishchitartaha, those who have ascertained the actual meaning of the soul, Sanchidya, cutting off, Ardham, situated in the heart, Anumana, by logic, Sadukti, and by the instructions of the sages and the Vedic literatures, Tikshana, sharpen, Jnana, of knowledge, Asinam, by the sword. Bhajata, all of you worship. Ma, me. Akila, of all. Samsaya, doubt. Adim, the cause. False ego. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. You should consider how, by the influence of my illusory energy, these three states of mind caused by the modes of nature have been artificially imagined to exist in me. Having definitely ascertained the truth of the soul, you should utilize the sharpened swords of knowledge acquired by logical reflection and from the instructions of sages and Vedic literatures to completely cut off the false ego, which is a breeding ground of all doubts. All of you should then worship me, who I am situated within the heart. You should consider how, I'll read again. You should consider how, by the influence of my illusory energy, these three states of mind caused by the modes of nature have been artificially imagined to exist in me. Having definitely ascertained the truth of the soul, you should utilize the sharpened swords of knowledge acquired by logical reflection from the instructions of sages and Vedic literatures to completely cut off the false ego, which is a breeding ground of all doubts. All of you should then worship me, who I am situated within the heart. Purport. One who has obtained transcendental knowledge is no longer dependent on the three stages of ordinary consciousness, namely waking, dreaming, and dreaming sleep, dreamless sleep. One thus rides one's material mind of the tendency to become the enjoyer of the inferior energy of the Lord, and one sees everything as part and parcel of the Lord's potency, meant only for the enjoyment of the Lord. In such a state of consciousness, one naturally surrenders fully to the Lord's devotional service, which Lord Hamsa here advises the sons of Lord Brahma to wake up, to take up. Om akyanati mirandasya kinakinasalakaya chaksuru militanjanatasmai stari gurame namaha. Here I was reading in the translation, there's a sentence. It's talking about the three states of mind caused by the modes of nature. So I guess the three states of mind have been artificially imagined to exist in the Lord. Okay, the Lord is beyond the three states of the. This is considered how, by the influence of my illusory energy, these three states of mind caused by the modes of nature, the three states of mind, waking, dreaming, and dreamless sleep, have been artificially imagined to exist in me. So obviously, we say everything exists in the Lord, but these three states are not part of the Lord. He's transcendental to the three states of ordinary consciousness. Okay, those are the three states of ordinary consciousness. And definitely the Lord, or those who are transcendentally situated in the devotional service of the Lord, they're beyond the three states of consciousness, namely walking, dreaming, and dreamless sleep. One that's right, one's material mind, has a tendency to become the enjoyer of the inferior energy of the Lord, and sees everything as part and parcel of the potency of the Lord's potency, meant only for the enjoyment of the Lord himself. I remember one time Vidyananda Das Goswami was given, he's very thoughtful, and he was given a class describing this enjoyment tendency in the mature world. And he was saying that when you look at something, it's like you have some invisible hands going with your vision and grabbing if you're looking something beautiful, and let's say the body, you know, a beautiful girl, so you just look and you grab. So that's what happens in this material world, that we have this innate, ingrained, tattooed, consciousness, that we look at something and we cannot look and say, wow, that's beautiful creation of the Lord. Like Sam says, you know, Sam's new question, if I get a try, he just says, if I'm angry with Krishna, I tell him. That was a question, 20 years ago. I guess the question he had now was, if I see the Mohini Murti and become attracted, is that okay? So it's true, but actually he's right on. Lord Shiva saw the Mohini Murti. Of course he was, she was definitely not under the influence of this ordinary consciousness, so he was influenced by the Lord, but it would be not easy to see a deity of Mohini Murti. That's why I guess there's no deities of Mohini Murti around. It's not, will not be conducive to reading one. Yeah, it would be a big challenge. It's a big challenge. Bhagavad Gita tells you, while contemplating the object of the senses and so on, one develops attachment and then different things happen. And it's certainly true is that if you don't look, if you can do like this and don't look, it helps out. Then you're not affected. A lot nicer would be to be transcendental, be able to look, see for what it is and don't have any feelings of possession. I remember one time, Sri Gurudev was a kirtan here in the temple room where it was a, also those days we had the Vyasa stand there on the top or on the sides. And they were all, the men here were just coming here towards Gurudev. And then all the Matajis were coming to Gurudev. All the Matajis, were coming with all their nice dance. But I remember, I don't look. I say, I cannot look. I cannot look anything. But Gurudev was looking. He was totally smiling. And you can see he was looking and not looking at, these are all young Matajis. We were in those days that we were in our 20s, so we looked good. So, he was just looking and having a good time smiling. And then he looked at us for a little while, then he looked at the Matajis for a little while. So I was noticing he can do that. It's not, he's totally accepted the, he can take that position that he's in because he's not affected neither by what he's, by the attractive forms. But even sometimes I see, you have to conquer this. But there's something more subtle, is pride. Wow. And I know I have a big battle with, sense objects. But sometimes when I get over the big battle of the sense objects inside, then I get proud. I say, wow, how do you deal with that one? Because, battle of the sense objects is pretty, it's black and white. Don't look, don't see, don't feel. But the other one is, when you accomplish something and then finally you feel, okay, I'm becoming transcendental, it's like your chest swells up. And then you catch that one and say, oh, my God, how do you deal with that one? It's a long road. It's a long road of becoming a pure devotee, obviously. If you start looking at all the things that need to have been accomplished, it's like an impossible task. But always comes to the same realization, just change around and everything will happen automatically. At some point, what they say, at some point, this insurmountable and really insurmountable ocean of material existence will become the size of the water contained in the space, a calf, not even a cow. So because the space of the cow is a little bigger, just the space of the calf is even smaller, left in the ground. So, it happened. I guess we all, devotees, we've been here because from time in time we get a little taste of how it looks, the water contained in the calf hoofprint. So that's why we encourage, we see other roads. How important it is to see advanced devotees. It's something we have in this movement because, definitely when you read Holy Scriptures, you read about great saints, they're great saints of the past, and Francis, and I always wonder at St. Patrick, and I never had a connection of the St. Patrick Festival with the actual life of St. Patrick, who was an ascetic who lived in the caves and never drank beer, probably. But, there are sages, they're holy people, are far distant in history, but we have amazing sages in our movement who are exemplary, who had obtained transcendental knowledge and are no longer dependent on the three stages of ordinary consciousness, namely walking, dreaming, and dreamless sleep. Thus, one does rise from material mind of the tendency to become the enjoyer of the inferior energy of the Lord. And one sees everything as part and parcel of the Lord's potency, meant only for the enjoyment of the Lord himself. Yeah, that's I guess that enjoy that tendency, the enjoyment tendency is natural on the spirit soul. That goes there with being a human, a spirit soul. You have the enjoyment, and you want to enjoy. But actually, no, the enjoyment is there, but you want to give enjoyment. In the spiritual world, we give enjoyment. Here, we take enjoyment. So the difference between the spiritual world and material world and the spiritual world, we give enjoyment. Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is devoid of that tendency of enjoyment. Everyone is devoid of that tendency of enjoyment. The spiritual world, that's it. So everyone wants to give enjoyment to others. Krishna wants to give, even the Supreme Lord wants to give, enjoys more giving enjoyment than taking enjoyment for himself. And so sometimes I was thinking the other day, this mature world, you know, why Krishna cannot make this mature world, the same as his? I said, well, because he wants to suffer. I don't think he wants to suffer. I think the consciousness, the selfish consciousness create is the building block of this world, so everything is temporary. Because this is something that's not eternal with the soul. If enjoyment was eternal of the soul, we'd be in the eternal world. But because enjoyment is something that's alien to the soul, to look for enjoyment oneself is alien to the soul, so everything created with that consciousness becomes also temporary, since it's not real. So we are in this world that's not real because our consciousness of becoming enjoyers had created those blocks. So our beautiful process is to do something that's incredibly considered insurmountable in all ages, to cross over these tendencies, to be rid of the influence of the modes of material nature. All those things are so, in previous ages, and sages used to devote so much time, so much energy, just devote a life, was a life devoted to exclusive and austerities to be able to accomplish this. So our path is difficult, but nothing compared to what this great sage has to undergo. So that's why Lord Chaitanya, knowing the quality of the dwellers of Kali Yuga, minimized the process to a simple, the chanting of the holy names. If you can just chant. And even Prabhupada reduced it. He adjusted even more. So this amazing, incredible process that was difficult for all, all across the Vedic literature, we see how, when somebody wants to get over, pretty much they leave everything and they go to the forest. But we, that cannot be done. So obviously, we've been given, we've been adjusted to our situation, to our minds, Kali Yuga minds and Western minds who add to that. So, my dear friends, surprised I'm here sitting giving class. With jeans. Thank you. Any other comments or anyways, 14. How do you want, Misha Prabhu? Good to see you always here.
In the verse, Krishna discusses these the three conditions, wakefulness, dreaming, and then dreamless
sleep.
But at the end he says just overcome the material side and the false ego, and then worship me. So is Krishna saying that you have to be pure first, or you have to give up false ego first? Which doesn't seem like what we're doing, because we're not perfect, but we start this process and then we become perfect. So is he pointing out the difference between like Krishna and Lord Chaitanya? That Krishna was, I've heard said, it was like, in order to get my mercy, you have to follow real strictly. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna comes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to say, just chant my names. I know it's impossible, so you get the mercy if you just want it.
When the spirit of your mind, the times begin to join in front of the Lord and sees everything happen. So, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What do we do? What do we do first? First, we become pure, and then we get the mercy. Or I think there's a lot of crying that needs to go on first. you cry for the mercy. You cry for the mercy, and then it has to be a lot of crying. So, we need to get the taste to get rid of the when you get the taste by experiencing a higher taste, one can give up the lower taste. So I think it first comes the taste, the chanting, and then will come the rest. Whereas in the past, maybe one had to do austerity. Well, the austerity is chanting the holy names, basically. I think that comes to everything. Like, we can say chanting, attending, following, and so on. But the point is, if chanting, actually, that's, I think it's a priority, no? Like Bhaktisiddhanta said, an audience will chant, I will serve them, I will cook meat, he said, no? I'll serve them meat, cook meat. So it's such an important thing. Don't worry about anything, just chant. Actually, there's a secret weapon, it's called the prasadam. Such a secret, such an amazing, and I've seen it, I've seen the effects. Where a little town where I live, I have all these friends, snowboarders, nice people. And I always thought, I hope someday I'm engaged in preaching. I hope someday I'm going to, I hope someday. But then one day I realized, you're here, and maybe this is a situation that Krishna put you in, so, and you have these people who, they like you. You are a preacher right now, so why postpone the attitude of being a preacher? And so I started making very careful, cooking my prasad, and very careful, I prepare a few things that they love. And I did the whole thing, offering nicely. And I see how their, prasadam is definitely what a holy name can. And I have this kid who stayed for me for a while. He, he's very, very incredibly smart. But this generation is so smart and so materialist that it's very hard to infuse any philosophy. It's just totally, why? The why philosophy, why this? So there's a point you cannot, he's just seeing that you're getting into an argument. It's just going nowhere. So he just stopped arguing and make sure he gets prasadam every day. He loves it. He never in his life ate like this. He comes every day. He's helping with some project and doing on some creams. And, he wants to learn how to cook. So I teach him how to cook. And then comes the bells, the offering. And then the other day the kid said, he reminded me, did you do the bells? We call it the bells. And the other day I went down to just, with him I do the full on. When somebody's there, it's not very familiar, just stand up and fold my hands, do it in my mind. But with him, I just go to the front and I look and he's down on the floor offering obeisances also. I say, just don't talk, just eat. I don't talk, I eat. So, we've been given a lot of tools that I think they come first, and then the rest will fall in place. All these things of being, I don't even know what level of consciousness. Probably all three, walk, waking, dreaming, and dream sleep. They interact. In any minute, all three they manifest. So you start thinking about all the things you need to do, and then the motion, material energy, and all that. It's like just chant. So I know when I get to, my mind gets to absorbing all the things I need to get rid of, so I just chant and don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about the things you do wrong. This is what I worry about, the things you haven't done. I did again, oh my God, why I did it again? Instead of worrying about why I did it again, I start worrying. I learned to worry about what I didn't do. Because what I did again, I will do it again and again. It's not, it's not that stopped when I felt sorry at that time. It happened again. So, but I worry about what I didn't done. If I didn't chant, that should be a cause of worrying. Misha, you always have a question. Man, you're alive.
So, you live around a lot of forests. So,
No, but I try hiking in the mountain. I lived for a while, and I was living in my childhood. I lived in the mountains for a while, but definitely, what happens with the forest is it's so conducive, because if you spend like I go for those day hikes, you know, I leave 6 in the morning and be back by 7, 8 in the evening. So all day long I spend out there in the mountains, just walking alone, totally alone. Little trails, and you know, you find lakes. It's totally more of goodness, because at the end of the day you come and you fall asleep, no material desire, seemingly, you know, you haven't seen the city or the little town, the cars, the ladies, the shops. So definitely the mountains and forests are in the mode of goodness. So they affect your mind. You know, like we know, you associate with the mode of goodness, it's a little easy to control the mind. And it creates a very awe feeling, because you see the creation, you know, you're reminded, you know, amazing, you know, God, what he can do. And you know, he's a spark, you know, all this spark of his splendor. So you're having to live in a place with all these things can be for somebody who's not living here. If you live right next to Kalachanchi Dam, of course, that's another story. You are not just brought to more goodness, but to a transcendental goodness. But for those who live, you know, away, the mountains is a good place. And the forest, you know, there's places that are conducive in some way, place to be. If you're going to be away from the temple, might as well be there, at least the mode of goodness. And helps you in your consciousness, helps, you know, a little bit. So, yeah, I know the benefits of living in the forest. There are a lot.
As a young man, he went into the forest in Maine, and he just started walking. And he walked 50, 60 miles, and he started to feel hungry, nothing to eat. He found a little place he could make a little area inside some big rocks that he could live. And he lived by scavenging cabins, you know, summer cabins that had, he would break into, but he was a very good thief. And he did it very carefully, right? But he just like for 20, 30 years, and finally he got caught, you know, but he was so good they could never catch him, you know, he was just a good thief. But my observation is that you can't do that. You can't move to the forest and just live on berries. It's impossible. So that attracted me, you know what I mean, of just saying, I don't want the material world, I'm just going to be a yogi. It's not even possible. But that we should stay here and use everything we have in Krishna's service.
Absolutely.
That's better than saying, just dry renunciation, I'm just going to go. That guy couldn't even do it. And so he didn't have a spiritual goal, but the only way he survived was because he was stealing from
cabins.
Yeah, so to me it seems like it's so much clearer. Just stay where you are, be Krishna conscious, and use everything in Krishna's service.
Yeah, that's why we have these temples in the middle of the city, you know. They're transcendental places, and it feels so transcendental. It's amazing when, for me, I come to visit, you know, once a year, and no need to go to Vrindavan. This is it. Here is Vrindavan, you know. This temple room, this community. And every time I come, I see more development, more growth, more awesomeness. Yeah. You know, more devotees coming. Beautiful festival yesterday. You can see all the. Everyone gets affected by this festival. We are already integrated in Dallas. The old days of people being scared of the Hare Krishnas are gone. I think it's a whole new era. Nice era. Uh, Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki. Hare Krishna.
Are you taking off for California today?